Wonderful. Brother William Hamilton facilitated a session with the brothers yesterday that I tell you, I hope Brother White don't hear this on TV or anywhere, but it's kind of good that he didn't come because we were blessed. The brothers shared, our brother Hamilton shared, and we had a great time in the Lord. I'm diving in simply because of time's sake. I mentioned on last Sunday, I think the last Lord's Day, at the beginning of each year, I try to give foundational lessons to help to strengthen our faith, to keep our identity as God's people, as the Lord's church. Today, I've entitled my lesson, I actually have about three titles, but I'm going to give you maybe two. One title is Understanding the Bible. The other title is A Bible Worldview. A Bible Worldview. Worldview simply means your philosophy of life or your conception of the world. And it's not a Bible term, but it is defined throughout the Bible, because some of you may say that, well, Brother Gary, I don't need a worldview. We ought to be worried about God's worldview. And you're so right. I believe that. But that is a worldview, to worry about God's worldview. See, because if your worldview is that you believe that God's view is the only view that really is important, then you have what's called a monotheistic worldview. And that's simply that you believe in the existence of one God and the oneness of God. But my friend, my brother, my sister, sisters in Christ, that's not the only worldview. And there are too many for me to enumerate this morning. But I want to focus on a Bible worldview. You have the polytheistic worldview. It's not new. It's simply the belief of the existence of God, many gods, a multitude of gods and goddesses. And so that's not new. There were and there still are many who believe that in a lot of superstition, and the sun and the moon, all of them have their own places in the deity of life. You have the humanistic worldview, and it's more of a materialistic view of life, materialistic in nature. It's self-centered. It's a worldview that is not necessarily immoral, but they feel like there's really no need for God. You know, and this person may do good things and may feel like they can do things on their own, and they're very materialistic, and so they have no need for God. And there may or may not be a God, but they have this view that, look, I can do it for myself. And then, of course, you've heard me mention before, there is this postmodern worldview. And some of our students that are in college have probably been exposed to this, and some of us have been exposed to it and just don't know it. And see, all of these worldviews, that they're growing in number, especially this postmodernistic worldview. And it simply says that there are no absolutes. You know, there are no really truisms. This is a group that's very skeptic and very, very, they question everything. And all of the so-called norms that our grandmothers and mothers and fathers have taken for granted, they question them. They could be right, but they could not be right. They are ones who believe that everybody could be right. You have a view, I have a view, what's your view just as good as mine? And some of them have their merits, you know, some of them are very creative. But I want to present to you this morning a Bible worldview. And especially for our young people, you have a decision to make. And hopefully you've already made the decision, and hopefully you've investigated it enough that you are sound in what you believe and why you believe it. And I just don't have time to go into the details of all these other views, and hopefully you will know about them, but they will not bombard you to the point that you start so-called believing. And I know I'm a biased speaker this morning, but the Bible is not just a book of random facts about God or about the world. Last week we talked about some Bible details, some minute things that some of us never even look at, and there are so many details in the Bible that can be confirmed that are true to everybody in the little details, but the Bible is not just a book of random facts. It's also not just a collection of laws, and sometimes people, individuals, or young folks, those of the other worldviews, they resist the Bible because they don't want to follow the rules and follow the laws. But it's not just that. It's beautiful. It's fascinating. The Bible can be heart-wrenching. It definitely can be terrifying. The Bible is a powerful, powerful collection of books that tell the story of God. And they tell the story of only one God. And it gives details about God and about his purpose and about I think it can be summarized in four distinct facts. And sometimes, you know, I love Brother Ray. He's instituted, or he's trying to motivate the church to read through the Bible. And many of you have taken that charge. I was looking on social media where many of you are reading through the Bible. And I think that's wonderful. I think the whole church needs to be doing that. But you need to also get the big picture as you read. And you need to know that the Bible is that you're just not reading book to book and just hoping you can get through it. Because the Bible tells a wonderful story. You remember these four facts in summarizing the Bible. The creation, the fall of man, the redemption of man, and the restoration. So creation, the fall, the redemption and restoration. And listen to the word of God. Listen to the word of God in Psalms chapter 50. Everybody all right this morning? Amen. Psalms chapter 50 and verse 10. Brother Willis read this in your hearing. The scripture says, "For every beast of the forest is mine." Who else would even dare say that? What lunatic? Who would even utter those words? We put them in the loony bin. The cattle on a thousand hills. And some of these passages, to some of us, they don't mean that much. But if you were a farmer, if you grew up on the hillside, if you grew up in the place, I'm glad when I was a little boy, I got to go ride through the country. And so you could ride over some of those hills, and over the hills, you come to another, and you see a hill of cattle. You heal the cows, and you say, "Man, all of those cows," and that's just a few cows. God said, "I know I own them all." Yeah, he says, they're mine. He said, "I know every bird of the mountains." That's what the scripture says. This is what the Bible says. And everything that moves in the field, the scripture says, it makes this bold statement, "It's mine." You know how kids can get so possessive, you know, when they're at home playing with the brothers and sisters, when they're outside and they have a toy and somebody take it from them and they say, "Give me back, that's mine." God says everything is his. He says, "If I was hungry, I wouldn't tell you." Lord have mercy. All he do was eat. Because everything he owns, it says, the scripture says, "For the world is mine and all it contains." And some of the theologies and some of the teachings of others, you know, some of it you have to use your own common sense. See, I don't see. I see the humanistic view, the postmodern view. I do know this. Without even reading the Bible, I know none of you made the world. I know, and I know within myself, and I believe all people in the world know that no human being made us. Made everything that we created. You know, you might not know nothing else, but I know none of you. I know there are some smart individuals in the world, but I know they're going to die one day. And they're going to get sick, and they are not in control. So I decided that I'm not going to put my trust in no man and no woman. Amen, somebody. And the Bible just lays it out. It lays the claim is clear without a doubt. I didn't even read one of the scriptures that you know best. In the beginning, God created the heavens. And it makes this claim early in the Bible to get us on the right framework, to put us in the right frame of mind that you need to listen to God and God alone. Yes, yes, yes. He says this in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 13. Now, see, it's like a statement to all of these other theologies and all of these other thinking and all of these other worldviews. He says, you shall fear only the Lord your God. You shall worship him and swear by his name. You shall not follow other gods. It's like God knows the inclination of us in our imaginations. And, you know, because we're so fearfully and wonderfully made, we think we all of that. We think we something else. We are smart, but God gave you those smarts. He says, and the people who surround you, for the Lord your God in the midst of you is a jealous God, who otherwise the anger of the Lord will, your God will be kindled against you, and he will wipe you off the face of the earth. And so he makes a claim up front about creation. He said, get it clear. Understand this, my people, my children, my loved ones. You didn't make yourself. I made you. I read a publication. Some things come to me. I'm not looking for them, but I was reading a publication. It's called The Bleeding Edge. It talks about technology. I'm trying to keep up with some of the technology that's coming out by knowing about it. And I'd say there are some smart people in this world that's making some awesome things. And it talked about quantum, let me make sure I'm getting this right. Not telepathy, but transportation. Quantum transportation. You've seen the Star Trek movies where Scotty says, beam me up. You know, and they beam person up to one ship, the other ship. And, you know, that's just fantasy, isn't it? I tell you what, you say it's fantasy, but we're closer than you think. You know, it showed an example of some scientists who've actually taken a chip, a microchip, and the components of that chip. One chip was in one place on the earth. The other chip was they took it somewhere way across the sky, and this has actually happened. They've actually transported particles from one chip to the other chip through a process. And I say, you know, that's something, isn't it? That's pretty good, isn't it? And you know, say, man think he can do that, he think he can do everything. And I say it, I just mention it not to disclaim, because see, when we talk to individuals, you know, there you have some smart, and one of the worldviews believes totally in science. And if it can't be proven through science, it's not true. But my friend, my professor, my whoever you are, God created science. And so the message is clear. That's Old Testament I read in Deuteronomy. Go to the New Testament in Luke chapter 4 verse 8. Jesus answered him. He said, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And so he makes a profound statement about life for us to clear up some things, for us to make sure our mindset is right as we live in this world. Don't get it twisted. God is in control. And so he, God is the only one worthy of our worship. And I know, and we're not talking about just on Sunday mornings. You know, I love sports, and I love entertainers, and I love singing, and I like good songs. But listen, let's not worship these people. Amen, somebody. You can't even see your wall for all the pictures you got up of somebody that's a person, and then often that person is not the example you need to have on your wall. Because after all, we should worship only God. Amen. The creation. Fact number two of the Bible in teaching us about God, the story of God, is the fall. Is the fall. God created everything, and it was good. And scripture says it was good. Everything that he created was good. And that's God. God don't create junk. Yeah. He knows what he's doing. Amen. Some of the sights. Yes, but you know the story of the fall. Yeah. He created us different from any of the other animals. And that he gave us volition. He gave us the ability to make choices. And he didn't make us robots. God could have made us robots, you know. But he didn't. It's like when we have our children are not robots, are they? I tell you what, sometimes I wish they were, though. Yeah. But the beauty about our children, even our children, the beauty about it is you know, they grow up, we try to teach them, and we see them learning and understanding some of the things we teach them. The beauty when they get on their own, they make the right decisions for themselves. The beauty about it is when we are not around, they make the right decisions. Amen? Yeah. And God gave us volition, and we made some bad choices. Of course, Adam and Eve failed. Yeah. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, and some of these passages you already know, but you need to know where they are in the Bible. When the woman saw the tree, that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate, and she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. Both of them ate, and the relationship never was the same between them and God. They failed. Then in almost the very next generation, in Genesis chapter 6, in Noah's generation, they failed. The scripture says in Genesis 6:5, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And that's Noah's generation. Lord have mercy. Just the world was awful. Just flat out awful. And evil, disobedience, violence in the world. And they fell short of the glory of God. Then in looking at Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 19, in Israel's generation, because they have not listened to my words, declares the Lord, which I sent to them again and again by my servants, the prophets, but you did not listen, declares the Lord. That was Israel. God's chosen ones. He took them in as his own children and gave them and rescued them out of Egyptian bondage and gave them food they didn't have to work for and sandals on their feet and put them in a special place, and they still wouldn't listen to God. Oh, and just some hard-headed people. Yeah. They didn't listen to God. Then you come to our generation. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. That's what the scripture says. For all have sinned. Yeah. Is all in here? Yeah. So everybody failed. Right? So we all fail. We do recognize that, don't we? Yeah. I'm not harping on it. Not trying to put everybody on a guilt trip. See, this is why the reality is we've all had our chances to please God and to do right and to do what God said. We've all had our chance, and we've all fallen, haven't we? Yeah. You know what just used to This used to make me is when my kids, I know we got some wonderful parents in here who just bent over backwards for their kids. I mean, just sacrifice. I see it, and I don't mind doing nothing. I didn't mind no sacrifice, going to work. I didn't mind. But when you think you got them, when you think they got it, and they do something just out the clear blue, and you look at them, and it's almost like you want to say, "I know you not my child." Anybody else had one of them moments? You did what? And it this is what I used to do. I said, "Lord, have mercy." I used to say, "Lord, help me, Jesus." I say sometimes, "Lord, help me, Jesus. Near the cross, help me, Jesus." And they just disappoint you. Anybody ever been? Yeah. You know, we've disappointed God a whole bunch of times. Have anybody relate to that? I'm gonna tell you something. This just me. So I sometimes I do not feel worthy to come stand in this pulpit. It's not so much. I know I'm a saved sinner. I know I'm saved by grace through faith. And you know, I haven't ever killed nobody. I kind of wanted to. I'm just saying, you know, I've messed up so many times. And one of the reasons why I feel like I am a 100% full debtor to God. Yeah. And see, you know what else I understand is we're not going to serve God till we feel like. We're not gonna please God till we feel like we owe God something. Anybody feel like you owe God something? I owe God for his mercy and for his grace on my life. You might not owe nobody else in this book. I don't owe nobody. That's fine, but I know I owe God. Yeah, see, and the Bible points out this fall of man. In all the generations, it points it out because God wants us to know that it hurts him. It hurt him so much when we fail. And if you're a parent, you ought to kind of know how that feels. Yeah, and you can't miss that fact. You see, that's why some people don't come to Jesus. That's why it's not an urgency. That's why I don't feel like listening to no sermon. Because you don't realize how much you've fallen. And how much greater debt you owe God. And people feel like they're all right. That's why these other worldviews are so dang. How in the world can you think that you are in control of anything? And the instant you say you got it together, you go to the doctor and he tells you you have cancer. Or you have an accident and you're out of control. Or you're paralyzed for life. Or your beautiful wife leaves you. So the Bible, it doesn't miss the fall. Jesus echoed it. He says, all of sin. Yeah. Even those of us that's been saved by grace through faith right now, you better tell you what, when you sin, you better get it right. Amen. Yeah. Some of us in the church and act like sin ain't nothing. We shuffle sin, God will understand. Tell you what, don't you die in your sins. Thank the Lord for what I'm labeling as the third fact that describes God's worldview and its redemption. Listen to Titus chapter 2, verse 11 as I hasten. Titus 2, 11, it says, "For the grace of God has appeared." Everybody say grace.
Grace.
See, you know, you got to admit this. You got to admit this. God is gracious. Yeah. Yeah. And see, and really God had this plan before he created the world. And it says that the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation, everybody say, to all.
To all.
All. And see, he brings the ability for the whole world to be saved. The whole world will be saved. Now, I wanted these lessons before the month is over. The Lord says the same. I'm going to speak on a church that pleases God. See, I'm going to speak on that, I think. And I say that because, see, some of our worldviews is not big enough. And what do you mean? You see, God wants everybody to be saved. And so if you have this prejudiced bone in you, or impartial bone, or respect the person bone in you, and you, sometimes we do it and don't realize it because we have an inclination to attract a certain groups of people and certain people. We need to expand our worldview to include all people, because that's what God has done. Yeah, God has done. You know, when after the flood, and God and the people of God, they tried to build a tower up to Babel, and God confounded their languages, and he split them up. They went all over the world speaking all these different languages because they were trying to concoct something on their own. And all of these cultures were developed, all of these people of these different languages. You know, I wish I could speak three or four languages. I need to quit wishing it and do something about it. Because sometimes I get into situations where people are talking, I don't understand what they're saying. I'll be the one to say, "What you saying?" And sometimes I want people come to the church and they speak Spanish and you know, and I'm like, yeah, there's a nap for it. Somebody say that, right? Okay, show me the app, brother. Show me the app. Now, notice, if we want to save people, we got to think like that. That's what we're saying about all. See, some of us, some people are so locked up in their family, in my people, in my neighborhood, in my community. God wants everybody to be saved. Amen. Amen. As the Lord said the same, I got some things that's on my bucket list. I'm telling you, I'm not, I'm a preacher of the Fifth Ward Church of Christ, but I'm not stuck right here in Fifth Ward. Amen. So we're talking about this redemption in the Bible. He says bringing salvation to all, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly. This is in the present age. We're talking about the redemption of God. See, God has designed a plan. He's appeared. He's bringing grace. Some people think grace. Oh, brother, thank you for that. Thank you for that. Oh, I know it's going to be by the grace of God that the grace is going to get me to heaven. Now, don't misunderstand God's grace. The Bible says God's grace has appeared. What does that mean? God sent his only begotten son. That means God's grace appeared. It gave the whole world an opportunity to respond to God's grace. Just the fact that God sent Jesus to the world and died for our sin don't mean that whole world is going to be saved. It means we have to respond to God's redemption plan. Surely all of us are going to be saved by the grace of God. But if you don't respond to Jesus, if you don't respond to the invitation, and you're here right now, here today, and you haven't been baptized into Jesus Christ, don't you think God's going to save you when you die?
Amen.
Especially when you've had the opportunity to obey it. Because he says after his grace appeared, he says he wants you to live a godly life, to deny worldly lusts. He says this. He goes on to say, looking for the blessed hope and appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior. He says, listen, here's my plan. I've sent my son Jesus. Now, you respond to that by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. You adjust your life. You erase those things that are against God's will. He said, and then you spend your time thinking about that blessed day when Jesus comes back again. Yeah. See, this is the Bible worldview. This is God. This is the story of God. Notice this, what he says in verse 14. Who gave himself for us, notice this, to redeem us. You know what redeem means, don't you? Yeah, God, the situation that Adam and Eve had in the garden, the situation with all of the sinners, the situation with the children of Israel, no, the situation with all of us who've fallen from the glory, grace of God, fallen from the favor of God, God gave us a second chance. And he made a way for us to get it right. Says, for to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. Yeah. See, this is the master plan. Yeah, this is God's master plan. This is the summary of the story of God as it pertains to us. I'm going to college and I'm gonna be an engineer, and I'm thinking about being a doctor. I'm thinking about going into computers. I'm a major in artificial intelligence, and I'm gonna write a book, and I'm gonna be a lawyer. I've got a lot of plans. I'm gonna find me a fine husband. I'm gonna find me a good wife. I'm gonna have 3 children. Lord, I got it all planned out. Bless you. Yeah, I mean, keep those thoughts. Nothing wrong with that. Yeah. I'm now at the age I can say been there. Done a few of those. But thank you, Lord, I've lived long enough to recognize that along the way things happen. Yeah, things happen. Things just don't turn out the way you plan all the time. Yeah. Some of y'all are going to get pregnant before you get married. Why you have to say that? I just said it. I'm not wishing bad on nobody. I'm just telling you things happen. A few of you in here, one of your parents going to die. Why you got to say it? We live in the world. Life happens. Yeah. Yeah. Some of us may become disabled. Yeah. Yeah. Life gives us disappointments. Gives us victories. But there's one constant. See, you need to learn what the constant is. Have you ever noticed that the sun hadn't missed a sunrise since the sun started shining? That's something, isn't it? Yeah. See, some things are constant. When it's nighttime, okay, where you are, if it's not a lot of clouds, you can look up and see the moon is up there somewhere. Yeah. See, don't look at humans. Don't look at people. Because we all are passing on. You see, some of us. Some of the members in here. Every now and then, they had a nerve enough to send me, "Brother, I found this old picture of you." I didn't know you had a mustache and you had. Brother, you used to have an afro. You want to remind me all of that? I know all of that. I'm gonna start looking for some old pictures of y'all. what you're saying. I'm not trying to make light of anything. But I'm telling you something. See, we as children of God, we need to be looking for that blessed hope. Because I'm telling you, you've heard me say it before. I gotta close. You've heard me say it before. I'm telling you, I'm speaking more freely. I'm every day. I'm telling. Don't listen. If it's not death, you know, something tragic, don't bring foolishness to me. Now, did I say that? I said that out loud, didn't I? What I'm saying is, I'm telling you, I've gotten to the point now, when I get up in the morning, I pray, thank you, Lord. Lord, forgive me my sins. Thank you for putting my feet on the ground. I want to be happy as many days as I can. And you got bad news everywhere, and I want my mindset to be right, because I don't know when something going to happen to my children, something going to happen to the wife, something going to happen to one of us at the Lord's church, my mom, my dad. And I said, you know what? I want to keep my mind right, because I want to go to heaven. And see, so you can look for that job, you can look for that husband, but don't put all your faith in a job or a husband. That husband might be the worst thing you ever could have. What are you saying, Brother Gary? I'm saying young people trust in God. Yes. Seek God's will. And Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. God will take care always his children. Amen. Now, we're not exempt from trials, but God got a plan for us. And then there is the last one, restoration. Restoration. And on this day, let me read this because I'm out of time. God's work of redemption reaches its goal when Christ returns. In 2 Thessalonians 1:4, therefore, we ourselves speak proudly of you among the churches of God. That's why I'm going to include a lesson on the churches, because you got to understand God's plan in this Bible worldview. The Bible worldview includes the church of God for your perseverance and faith. Listen, your perseverance and faith in the midst of all your persecutions and afflictions which you endure. If you live any length of time on this earth, we all gonna have to endure something. It comes in different forms and different fashions. This is a plain indication. Notice this. This is a plain indication of God's righteous judgment, so that you will be considered worthy of the kingdom of God, for which indeed you are suffering. See, we live in a broken world with sin in the world, and some things we just can't avoid. But God does not want us to turn our backs against him when we're going through some suffering. And when we don't turn our backs, it's an indication that you are God's child. He says, for after all, it is only just for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you. Now, that's why you don't need to take matters in your own hands. As far as violence, as far as destruction of other people, God is watching. Now, if it's something that you need to call a law about, you call a law. But God got his eye on anybody that's leaning on us the wrong way. And it says this. He says, it is only just for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you. And notice in verse 7, and to give relief to you who are afflicted, and to us as well. Notice, when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not obey God. And to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. You see, in God created the world, everything in the world is God's. We've messed up numerous times. All generations have fallen, but God is still good. He has a plan in place. when he sent his only begotten son to die for all of our sins. Don't ignore that. I know it's been over 2,000 years in our years, but it's just like yesterday with God. And if we don't respond to God's redemption plan, there is no other plan for mankind to be saved. And one glorious day, Jesus is coming back. The scripture says, every eye shall see. No, listen, some passages in the Bible just see, not only those who are alive going to see him, everybody who's dead going to see him. Every tongue will confess the name of Jesus, young and old. What does that mean, confess? We will be saying, Jesus, you know, we sing that song, Jesus is Lord, my Redeemer. How he loves me, how I love him. He is risen, he is coming. Lord, come quickly. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. 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 Lord, come quickly. Hallelujah. If you're here this morning and you want to obey the gospel, it is a faith decision. You haven't seen Jesus with your own eyes, but he lives. He did come. And you respond to the love of Christ by believing with all of your heart that he is the Son of God, by having a changed mind about your sin, repenting of your sins, Luke 13:3-5, by confessing with your mouth what your heart believes in, being baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins. That is the response God wants from us when we hear that gospel message. If you haven't already done it, you need to do it. And God adds you to his family, to his church family, to the church of God, to the kingdom of God, to the church of Christ. And he wants us to live faithful even through the trials that we go through in life, the disappointments in life. God does not want us to turn our backs on him. He wants us to turn to him. He wants us to hang in there. Whatever we're going through is not too big for God. And if you want to respond to his invitation, come as we stand and sing the song.
Calypso, why will you linger, wandering from the fold of God? Hear you not the invitation, oh, prepare to meet thy God. Calypso,
Calypso,
heed thy warning,
heed thy warning,
for your life
will soon be gone,
will soon be gone. Oh, I'll stand
to face the judgment,
to face the judgment,
to face the judgment.
I'm prepared to meet thy God. Why so thoughtless are you standing while the fleeting years go by, and your life is filled folly? Oh, prepare to meet thy God.
Careless soul,
oh, heed thy warning,
heed the warning,
for your life
will soon be gone.
Oh, how sad to face the judgment. I'm prepared to meet thy God. Careless soul,
Somebody
will
else
heed thy
Jesus.
Warning.
Heed thy warning.
For your life
will soon be gone.
Will soon be gone.
Will soon be gone.
Oh, I said.